Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for the great privilege that is ours to come before the throne of grace. We thank you that we come to a God who is beyond our comprehension, one who is the great King of heaven and earth. We thank you that we come before a God who is eternal and a God who is unchangeable. And we do rejoice, O God, that you sent your only begotten Son into this world to save us from our sin. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given to us a gospel that is like unto yourself, a gospel that is eternal, and a gospel that is unchangeable. We thank you, O Lord, for what this gospel can do, that it can change the lives of individuals. We rejoice, O Lord, in what it tells us, how that Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary, and there he shed that precious blood. And when he went into the tomb, he did not stay there, but rather he rose triumphantly over the grave. And Lord, we rejoice today that we serve that risen Savior. We know we come before one who has risen from the grave. And Lord, we thank you that we have a Savior to present and a Savior who can truly save men and women from their sin. Lord, we do pray for, Lord, our brother as he would come to preach the word. We pray, Lord, for Mr. Armstrong that you would bless him. And Lord, give him much liberty as he would come to preach. We pray, O Lord, that you would use the preaching of the Word of God for all who would hear. And we ask, O Lord, even today, that your name would be magnified and glorified through the preaching of your own precious Word. For we ask these things in thy precious name. Amen. Our Bible reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke and the chapter number 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning to read the verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. And we ask the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. We're going to turn now to our second hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Delighted to be with you in this service. I trust that we'll know the Lord's presence and His grace and His blessing as we meet together around the Word of God. The text that I'd like to leave with you today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, reading in verse 20. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This text is part of a parable related by the Lord Jesus during the days of his earthly ministry. The parable is prompted by a request from someone that the Savior intervene in a dispute that he is having with his brother. That dispute, like so many in families, was over an inheritance. There had been some sort of a fallout between this individual and his brother about how their father's inheritance was to be divided. How sad it was that these two men had lost their father. Death is indiscriminate in that sense. It visits every home. It removes even our nearest and dearest from our midst. But this sad situation became tragic because of the fact that the two members of this family, this individual who spoke to Christ and his brother, had somehow then fallen out over this inheritance, when they ought to have been caring for one another and supporting one another at their time of grief. They ended up at each other's throats, fighting, arguing, disputing, wrangling. As a preacher of a past day has said, grief quickly gives way to greed. Apparently, all attempts at a peaceful resolution of this difficulty had failed. And so, this man, being in the Savior's company, he takes the opportunity to ask the Lord Jesus to intervene between him and his brother. On meeting Christ, the man might have asked the Lord for grace to overcome in the loss of his father, or he might have requested the Lord to speak to his brother about his soul and his spiritual state, or the person might even have inquired about his own soul's spiritual well-being. But no, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a face-to-face meeting with the Son of God. But the only thing that was upon this mind of this man was the material. And his perceived injustice over the inheritance and the amount of wealth that he imagined that he had been cheated out of. The Lord's reply and the subsequent parable demonstrates to us the necessity of having our priorities right. Of course, there's nothing wrong with this individual obtaining his rightful inheritance. But this man, like the man in the parable that Christ recited, put the material above the spiritual. And instead of firstly seeking the peace and the well-being of his soul, he looked at his bank balance. He did so because, in the words of Christ, he was covetous, just like the farmer in the parable that the Lord related. And in Luke chapter 12 and the verse 20, the Lord called that farmer a fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The Lord might have that to say to someone to whom I'm speaking to on this occasion. You might be classed as not a fool in relation to your business. You are successful in regard to your chosen career, just like the man in the parable. He was called a certain rich man. He was already rich before his goods increased and his ground brought forth plentifully on the occasion that the Lord Jesus relates to in the parable. That would firstly indicate that he was a man of prosperity, because he lived in what were generally poor and trying times for the multitude of people. The poor in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ very often had to beg for their daily bread. You'll remember the widow going up to the temple in Jerusalem. She had but two small coins, two mites, to cast into the treasury. Peter had to go and catch a fish with a penny in its mouth before he could pay tribute. But the man in the parable had no such concerns and no such worries. And if you are able to say that you really have nothing to worry about as far as the material things of life are concerned, you're in a blessed position indeed. There's nothing wrong with having, of course, good machinery or the latest and best equipment as far as your business is concerned, or having a large car in the drive of an ample house, if those things are gotten legally and are above board. There have always been rich and poor. And if you're among the former, then fair play to you. The man in the parable's riches would also indicate a man with ability, because he was a very able and astute farmer the individual of whom the Lord Jesus spoke. And perhaps you have done well in your business and in your life because you too are good at your trade or profession. You have worked hard. To use the language of the parable, your ground brings forth plentifully because you are most competent as far as your occupation is concerned. You're a diligent master of your business. And you're proud of what you have attained in life, and rightly so, because you've worked hard. Perhaps you started out with very little indeed, but you've amassed a good deal. That's nothing but commendable. The Lord maintained that the rich man owned this ground because he speaks about the ground in verse 16 of a certain rich man. It was his. It belonged to him. Business-wise, things were going well for the individual. He had a good business brain. The Lord didn't condemn this man for having done well in life. His riches would also indicate the provision of divinity. Because his business and his material benefits and abilities bear testimony to the Lord's provision. You must understand that all that exists belongs to the Lord. And therefore, whatever you possess, you have received from him. I hope you recognize that fact. The Bible asks a question in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 7, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" And in creation, the Lord has provided the earth, the heaven, the sea from which we obtain, the air that we breathe, the heat and the rain, every necessity for daily life. He has given it to us. In his care, the Lord causes the food to come forth from the earth and from the sea. He renders food for nourishment to the well-being of our bodies. He maintains by his care, by his provision, both man and beast. Psalm 147 and the verse 9 tells us that the Lord giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. The raven, in scriptural, biblical terms, is an unclean bird. It's a scavenger. And yet the Lord sets forth that raven as an example of his provision. Indeed, the verse speaks about the young ravens that are the object of his care. Little birds that you and I would hardly take under our notice, yet the Lord provides for them. If he provides for even the young raven, and for the beast of the field, you can be sure then that you and I receive by way of temporal and material blessings, things that come from his bountiful hand. The Lord Jesus also in Luke chapter 12 and the verse 24 told us to consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And the Lord has been good to you. I hope you recognize that. The Lord has given you your prosperity, your field, your food, your health, and your ability to work, and whatever talents you have. All in all, things have gone well for you because of the Lord's provision and his grace and his goodness to you. And therefore, materially, you want for very little indeed. And no one should begrudge you those things. And if you recognize those points, then I can say to you that as far as the things of time are concerned, you're no fool. But you might be regarded as a fool in relation to the things of eternity. Because the Lord said to this man in verse 20 of our chapter, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you." That's what made this man a fool in the eyes of the Lord. He made no provision for his soul. And sadly, it seems to be the case that some who find success in other areas of their lives become so wrapped up in the events and the activities of time that they forget about eternity. The individual who does so is foolish in that they seek to live for time only. And there might be someone to whom I'm speaking, and that is your situation and your case. In the words of the parable, you aren't rich toward God because your life is all taken up with earthly things. If you were to lose your wealth or your business or your work or your colleagues, you would have nothing left because your whole life is wrapped up in these things. In their place, there may be nothing wrong with such things, but your problem is that you are so busy looking after the material things of life that you've no time for the most important matter of all, the well-being of your soul. Job was a successful businessman in the Old Testament. Job was also a farmer. And for a number of years, of course, Job had health. He had his family all around him. He no doubt had a comfortable environment and all the trappings of success in his day and age. But the time came when virtually everything that Job worked for fell down around him, and everything virtually that he had was taken from him. That was a hard blow to take, but life is full of hard knocks. Yet in the midst of his trouble and distress, Job was able to say in chapter 19 and the verse 25 of the book that bears his name, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Because you must understand, Job wasn't just building upon the sinking sands of time. Job had a hope for eternity because he knew the Lord Jesus in a real, in a living, in an actual relationship as his Redeemer. Job, you see, like you and I, was born into a sinful race as a sinner, one who has transgressed the law of God. That sin, that breaking of God's law, means that you are cut off from God, your Maker. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 7 maintains that you and I are at enmity with him in our sin, because sin causes a breach, a dispute between the guilty sinner and a holy God. If you were to enjoy fellowship with the Lord, either in time or in eternity, you must be reconciled to him. The breach must be healed between you and the Lord. The enmity must be removed by your sin and the consequences of your sin being paid for. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can reconcile you to God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for the sin of his people. What is the price of sin? The price of sin is death. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. That's why Christ died. That's why he had to die upon the cross of Calvary. And having died, he is the Redeemer then of God's people, the one who has borne the wrath of God that is poured out upon sin. Job, you see, was able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, because Job had taken Christ as his Savior and accepted his work as the only Redeemer of God's people. Therefore, when Job lost virtually everything, materially speaking, he could bear witness to the fact that he still had Christ as a Savior. Job was still a Christian. He was still saved. He was still born again. In that sense, he was rich toward God, what the Bible calls laying up treasure in heaven. But perhaps that's not how it would be with you, because you do not have such a hope. You have never taken Christ as your Savior. Oh, don't be foolish in merely living for time. Don't be foolish in forgetting about God's salvation. The man in the parable had a soul. He believed he had a soul. We all have a soul. The individual that Christ mentioned in the parable spoke to his soul. He spoke to himself, in effect, in verse 19 by saying, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. What is your soul? Well, your soul is the real person. Your soul encapsulates the existence, the personality, the will, the volition. The soul can't exist without the body. That's what death is. Death is that eternal, ever-living soul leaving the body and making its way out into the presence of God. The man in the parable was convinced he had a soul, but he placed the well-being of his soul behind the advancement of his farm and his business. And he began to pull down his barns. There's nothing wrong with expansion. Nothing wrong with expansion. But he became so wrapped up in his business and in his workplace and in those things that are the material things in life that he forgot all about his soul, and he counted on having many years left upon earth. And what a miscalculation that was. He assessed the length of his time as many years, but he didn't have many years. Indeed, he didn't have any years, because the Lord said to him, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." And he was taken from his business, and he was taken from his workplace, and he was taken from the plans that he had laid down and the foundations perhaps for those larger barns, and he was taken away from every material thing he had. He was taken out into God's eternity unprepared. He lost his soul. That's why the Lord called him a fool. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Oh, be wise. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you have an inheritance or you don't have any inheritance, don't forget the most treasured possession you have is your soul, and make preparation by receiving Christ as your Savior to stand in God's presence. I trust that you will heed the warning. The word fool means a heedless one. I trust you'll heed the warning of the man in the parable. Take Christ as your Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we return thee thanks for thy mercy towards us in the preaching of thy word, for the warning of the gospel, and for the love of Jesus Christ to our souls. Bless thy word to our hearts, and may it bring forth fruit in our hearts and in our lives to the glory of the Lord's name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.